If you want to head to our text this morning, we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts, chapter 20. What a great challenge for us this morning. Holy Spirit risk. On the surface, it almost sounds contradictory in a sense, but yet we understand that he's actually calling us to take a courageous and have courageous faith. You know, when we look at the book of Acts, we find that illustrated by the life of Paul. Paul is preparing to go into Jerusalem. He was trying to get to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. He wanted to very quickly pass through Ephesus, but we find that he does take out some time to speak with the elders that of the churches that are there. And as he's beginning to speak with them, he's sharing with them what he has done from the day one, what he has done and what he has done in service to the Lord. And that now as he's moving on not knowing exactly all that awaits him there, but he does know that there is trials and persecutions that await him as he goes to Rome. So when we look at him moving forward, Paul had to make a decision. He had a difficult path that laid ahead of him. And so by many of our standards, we would think that he's really taking a risk by where he's going. And much is the case of many of our missionaries even today. But let's consider something that this isn't just applicable to missionaries, but yet it applies for us today. You notice that something that he kept mentioning is that we don't allow the culture to define us, but yet we allow the Word of God to define us. But yet we do not dismiss culture completely because that is where we reach the people. Folks, we have witnessed and we have seen the culture of our nation changing dramatically. Many things are changing. The atmosphere is changing, but yet that doesn't define who we are. We respond to the cultural changes by looking for opportunities to continue to communicate the Word of God, to communicate the gospel of Christ, to live as an example in that culture, but yet not being defined by that culture. Does that make sense to you today? So in order for us to live counter culture at times, by following God's word and God's will, it takes courage. It takes a courageous faithfulness. And as Paul was demonstrating that for us in Scripture, he is calling upon the Lord to guide and direct him. He is moving forward in courageous service. He's moving forward in courageous teaching and evangelism. And he moves forward in courageous surrender. So let's go to Acts chapter 20. We're going to begin in verse 17. And I'm going to read our text for this morning. And then we'll begin to dig into the scriptures as we go. So, Acts chapter 20, verse 17 is where we will start. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you who the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Our first point this morning is courageous in service. Verses 17 through 19 gives us the insight of Paul's dedication to the people, dedication to the church there in Ephesus as he served and worked with them. Notice he says that from the very first day that he served, at all seasons, through all situations, through all circumstances of life, Paul was one that you would never see him back down from an opportunity, would you? We look at the boldness and the courage that Paul displayed many times, that even when he would go into a city and go into an area, knowing that Jews were there to disrupt all that he was trying to do, and yet he went anyway. Many would shy away from those distractions or discouragements, but Paul was looking for opportunities in those difficulties. And so as we see his example, we see that his focus was on the gospel. His heart was to those who needed to hear the gospel, whether or not that he felt as though they deserved, but yet he felt that the gospel was for all, which biblically it is for all. It's not just for us to determine who that we send it to, but yet it's really given to those that are lost. Think of that for a moment. The gospel message belongs to those who are lost, and God desires and wants them to hear that message. And so, folks, it's for us. The burden lays upon us to communicate that as believers, as the church, and as His people. We are to send that message. We are to take that message wherever we may be. Courageous in service. We need to ask the Lord to give us that courage. Give us that strength that we may be able to see the love of God and the opportunities that are there instead of the obstacles that may cause us concern. We face up to the challenges today. Here's some things I want us to think about. As Paul was going to the elders of Ephesus, they were welcoming with open arms. They were heartbroken when they heard that they would not see him anymore. But yet, as he spoke with them, they wanted to hear. But we see as he was getting ready to go his next steps in service that he wasn't counting his life of any value over the necessities of sharing the gospel message. You see how that he prioritized his life and all that God had called him to do, that God's desire come first. You know, when we face the difficulties in our situations today, as we look at the challenges in culture today, can we also look with the same courage, with the same desires, to find the answers and the solutions that we may continue to share in spite of the difficulties? Maybe you're facing areas of difficulty in your home. Maybe you're finding areas of difficulty at work. Maybe you have to deal with difficult people on a daily basis. That requires a courageous faith. It requires a courage that we're not looking for a way out, but we're looking for a way in. Can you relate to me, church? We're looking for the Lord to remind us that we are not facing these times and obstacles alone. We're serving not our own power, but based upon God's power. That's how Paul moved forward, and folks, that's how we as the Lord's church should move forward. How did he serve? How did Paul serve the Lord? We see his loyalty and his dedication. And it's often tempting for us to say that, well, I see that he's dedicated, but I struggle with that. Well, could we say that possibly we're not just struggling, but that we're growing? Maybe it is that we're still learning. You know, often we feel like that, well, I've been in church for so long, I should be. There's a lot of I shoulds in our lives, isn't there? There's a lot of things that I look back at when I was younger that I could have learned from my dad if I would have just listened and spent a little time. There's a lot of things that I could have learned from my previous pastors if I just listened and studied what he asked me to study or suggested that I read. There's a lot of I should. We simply need to repent of those and come back to the Lord and say, Lord, where can I start again? Where can I get a fresh start? Where can we start today? Amen? Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow we can't affect. All you have is today. Amen? But guess what? He's God of today. He's God of tomorrow. He's the God of yesterday, and he is able to save us through all of that. Amen? So as we serve, we should serve with excitement. We should serve with certainty that he is able to guide us and to use us. Paul served with humility. He came and he was humble. He served not, as you see in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility. He served with all humility, meaning that he served any and all people. He didn't select out individuals that he would go to. He didn't predetermine those that he would try to reach and those that he would leave. He served with humility. Those that are rich, those that are poor, those are of his culture, those who are not of his culture. Whatever the need, whatever the desire, he ministered with a genuine love and genuine compassion. As we see that he says, not only with all humility in verse 19, but also with many tears and trials. With many tears and trials. What were the tears that Paul had? Paul was genuinely concerned for those that he was trying to reach. Paul was genuinely concerned for believers that were falling away from the Lord. Paul was genuinely concerned for those, even those that were punishing and tormenting and persecuting him. How can that be? We look at those around us with God's eyes, not our own eyes. We look with his heart, not our heart. We look through the reality that we were once lost, without a Savior, and in need of salvation. Amen? So we see ourselves in them. We've not grown past our need for God. We've grown deeper in our need for the Lord. Amen? With trials. Here we see just the determination, I say, the Holy Spirit determination that Paul had. Again, you know, it's always a challenge to balance out. How is it that Paul, sometimes we want to look at individuals in the Scriptures and declare that they're superheroes. They operated on a level that we cannot know. That's not true. That's borderline Gnosticism that Paul was dealing with so strongly in that day and age. That there was only certain ones that had great spiritual ability and only they could understand. That's not the reality of serving God. If you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God as a child of God, which that happens at the time and point of salvation, then you have all that you need for good works. We follow him. So where does that determination come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit guiding us, teaching us, and empowering us. As we see him work, we realize that he can work in all things. When we see him tear down boundaries, we see him scaling mountains that we cannot climb. We realize that there are no boundaries to God. And we allow him to have that, even in trials. Paul faced many trials, didn't he? In fact, those his own countrymen, the Jews that he so lovingly tried to reach in any and all cases, were the ones that tormented him the most. But yet, in spite of all of those, he continued in faithfulness. I want to ask you today, are you struggling with trials? Are you struggling with discouragement, disappointments, or maybe even personal failures? These can create trials, don't they? I think we've just experienced a year of those trials. We've experienced a year of those disappointments and discouragement. We have found the difficulties, and maybe we're even suffering right now of some of those personal failures. What do we do? How do we move forward? We simply move forward in faithfulness and repentance, don't we? It's tempting to step back. It's tempting to give up hope. It's tempting to just call it done, and there's just nothing else that we can do. But can I remind you that God uses even the reluctant ones? Jonah, the greatest evangelist that ever lived, just despised the people he was sent to. But yet God did a great work. Amen? Even in our failures and our weaknesses, God is able to do great and mighty things. Courageous service, secondly, is courageous in teaching and evangelism. Now in verse 20, he's sharing with them how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul was engaged in not only a public ministry, but also personal ministry. Paul was one that was looking for opportunity. He was very intentional in his teaching and instructing and sharing the gospel message. You know, the proclaiming and taught focuses on Paul not using big, flowery, confusing words, but yet he taught in ways that were clear and understandable so that those that were listening could hear and understand and then respond. You know, so often we are convincing of ourselves, or maybe just hearing someone else that shares the gospel in such a flowery way, or sometimes you may look at a pastor and say, my, he shares the gospel so well, I could never do that. Folks, you should not aspire to be someone else when it comes to sharing your testimony, comes to sharing the love of God in your life. You need to share on a personal basis. And sometimes it comes out very simply, very clear-cut, very, some may even say, elementary. But guess what? Those who do not know the Lord Jesus have not been born again. Are they not on the elementary level? They don't need us confusing things anymore for them. They don't need us using jargon and words and things that we're so familiar with and that are churchy and religious. They don't need the added strain. Sometimes they simply need the gospel in its purest form that they might understand. But more than that, that they may respond. The courage to just share the simplicity of the gospel. The courage that it has to just simply share Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." Then we jump down to verse 4. He says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." We're not trying to woo. We're not trying to manipulate. We're not trying to wow people with our abilities or our inabilities. We're simply sharing the power of God, the life transformation that only He can bring, and that is in and through His Son Jesus. Paul wanted them to experience not the power of men, but the power of God. And if you look at verse 5 right after that, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so now he's giving us not only the power of the message that we're sending, but he's giving the power in how we present it. You know, I've been through, as a pastor and as a young man being discipled as I was growing up, I've been through so many different ideas of how to share the gospel message. And as I look at each one, some are simple and very clear. Some are really complicated and exhausting. So it's like, well, how do I determine which is best? Over time, we begin to realize there's many ideas, there's many patterns that can be used, but ultimately, sometimes just getting back to the Roman road, sometimes just getting back to, I led an individual to the Lord just using John 3:16, and that was it. It's like, oh, wait a minute, we got all these fancy plans and ideas. But you know, in reality, sometimes we begin to complicate, don't we? We just need to have the courage to stand on God's word, to have confidence in His message, to have confidence in the power of the message, and let it run. Let it be free, and sow that seed liberally. Sow that seed everywhere so that God will have an opportunity to touch hearts around us. Folks, you're not going to change hearts. And a lot of chances, you're not going to change minds. But you present the truth of God's word and the power of God's word, and God will change hearts and minds. Amen? The message doesn't change. What is that message? Verse 21, Paul said, "Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the message. It was the same message that John the Baptist preached. Matthew 3, 1 through 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was the message that Jesus proclaimed in Matthew 4, 17? For that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You're catching on. And then all of a sudden, we come to John. John says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. The salvation message, the transforming power has not changed and nor will it change. So we adjust to the culture that we're in. We find the courage to go even in the difficulties of our culture, but yet the message remains the same. Isn't that amazing? It is. In fact, we call it amazing grace because it's timeless. It has no bounds. It has no limitations. Paul says in verse 22 and 23, he says, I'm going to Jerusalem now. I'm constrained by the Spirit, not knowing all that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. Doesn't seem real encouraging, does it? But to Paul, it was. For Paul, he was going to an area that had not heard the gospel yet. He's going to a fresh field that hasn't been reaped as of yet. And the excitement that he has is to go with a powerful message. So our third point is courageous surrender. Paul was fully given. He was fully sold out for Christ. In fact, we might even say, as we sang this morning, Paul was reckless in his love for the lost. Would you agree? Kind of seeing a theme here, aren't we? Willing to throw off all other loves, all other passions, to be used of God and to be used for God. What does that require? Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it that a man, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? My friend, God requires perfect and full obedience. Amen. Does he deserve that? It's a yes. Can he require it? Does he have the authority to do that? Yes, he does. Do we find great joy in faithfully serving him? Absolutely we do. That's where life is. That's where joy is. That's where all the answers are. While we're trying to find alternatives, we're trying to find adjustments, we're trying to find other ways or other options, and all along, life in its fullest lays before us on the cross of Calvary. He offers it to those who will follow and trust in him. Are you ready to sell it all? Are you ready to give it all? Are you ready to lay everything down? You know, Paul come to a place and he says, now, as I go, I'm guilty of no man's blood. You think that, oh my, did Paul beat somebody up? Or, you know, you read that language thinking that, oh, something really bad happened? No. Paul was saying that if there is any of you left here in this church that did not accept the Lord Jesus, I am not guilty. You are. I shared the message. I held nothing back. I preached it. I proclaimed it. I taught it as simple as could be done. I presented to you. I loved you. I called upon you. But if you chose not to follow the Lord Jesus, then your blood is on your hands. Can you say that to all the loved ones around you? Can you say that about those that you work with? Have you sought fully the opportunities that God has opened to you to faithfully share the gospel message? Maybe there's difficulties that kept you from that. I want you to meet a Filipino change maker who serves in the BMA missions. We'll never get to meet Brother Max. His name is Brother Maximo, and I'm not going to pronounce his last name. I know I will butcher it, but they refer to him as Brother Max. Brother Max is preaching in teaching, and he lost his eyesight. He's completely blind. And so instead of stopping ministry, instead of stopping preaching, he learned Braille. He continued to listen to people reading the Bible to him. He went on to memorize 8 books of the Bible, hundreds of verses. And so he types out his message, I guess using Braille. He preaches from memory, and he gives his congregation outlines for them to study and to take home with them. His dedication to teaching and preaching God's Word, in spite of his disability, truly is challenging to all of us. Amen? I want you to think of, are we truly showing that courage and courageous service? Are we showing that courage and full surrender to God? Are we showing that courage and serving our culture? Where are you at today? Can we truly say, if the Lord came today, could we truly say, as Paul said, I've done all that I can do. I've given you all that I have. I've been faithful to each and every one of you. Can we truly say that? As we stand together this morning, as you make your way by the offering slot on the office there, if you're going to give to missions, remember, as Brother Mike had reminded us this morning, we're not just blindly sending a check somewhere overseas. We're sending support, encouragement to change makers, to those that are battling with great courage in the culture that they are found, so that they might share the gospel. Expecting that as you send your love, that you also are demonstrating courageous faith here at home. Amen? Lord, use us up. May we catch and see every opportunity. Fill us with courage that we may be faithful for you today.